meetings with missionaries. There's a new guy that came on with Worldwide. The first time ever was a deaf man that graduated from a deaf Bible college and is sent out from a deaf church and is going to plant a deaf church in the Philly area. And just fascinating. There's needs everywhere. And the Lord has just opened doors for us to, in a sense, serve, really serving missionaries so that they can get to the field. Serving them and trying to help them get to the place of their calling more quickly. And we're enjoying ourselves and enjoying the input and the association we have with so many different missionaries. Just encouraging. Thinking of our missionaries this morning, let's go ahead and go through them so we can pray before we get started. John and Jen Smith are missionaries, at least for the summer. They're in Italy with Frank and Jenny, and pray that the Lord works in their hearts. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God used this to send them back there to work with Frank and Jenny? What a blessing that would be. And then Frank and Jenny Maeda, they're in Italy. John and Krista Boylston, who are back home right now, the Lord has closed the door for them to go back due to John's difficulties with his back and the therapy he's going through. Pray that this therapy will continue to help him and that God would strengthen them. It's a tough time they're going through. And Krista has multiple sclerosis as well. And to try to take care of John, take care of the kids, homeschooling. And then after 5 years in Ponape and then coming back, reverse culture shock is real. I can see it in their eyes and talking through them on the phone and different things. It's difficult to readjust to America and their hearts back in Ponape. And 5 years for a kid is an eternity. Changes their whole way of thinking. They're different. They're changed forever from having been there, and they need our prayers. It's a long road they're going to go through coming back home to try to, in a sense, reintegrate into American Christianity, American society. It's just so different. Jana understands that, having come here from growing up in Brazil and came here for college and others. It's just a difficult adjustment. And so pray for John and Krista. Also, the Ibans there in Ponape, God's been working through them, doing some neat things. The radio station there, and then they still having all the different, the rains and such. There's been so many people that need help there. And think of the Keelings. They're not sent out of here, but we support them. And do you have an update on the Rickson and Susan, anything? Praise the Lord. Imagine the difficulty. Right. Gotcha. Wow. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Pray for the Keelings, that God would continue to provide as they try to to fix their house and to recollect things, and it's hard to start over again. It's difficult, and then along in the middle of all that, the trials you face, the extra difficulty of living without running water, the time consumed that it takes, just a lot of things there. So we have the Ibans, and then Jed and Gloria are down in Florida this morning at a meeting for deputation. He just told me yesterday they're up to 25% of the support. The Lord's been blessing and bringing that in, so continue to pray for them. Garrett Conley is here with us this morning. Next week, he's down in Florida for one of his first few meetings. And pray for him that God would get this support that he needs quickly so that he can get to Ireland. And lots of needs. And that's just our missionaries. And so I'm trying to think if I forgot anyone here. Omar and Tracy Schrock are still in Nebraska, but they're leaving in the next few days to go back to Brazil and get started back there after a few weeks of, I say vacation, probably half of it's traveling, but of seeing family I'm thankful they were able to make it back. And pray that God would raise up someone there on the field or send someone to work with them. The reason they came back for just 3 weeks, can't just leave a church that has nobody to accept baby Christians or non-Christians. You can't leave it for longer than a few weeks. And so unless God does a miracle works through them and raises someone up there to take the work or to bring someone here from the States to help out, they get a long road ahead, a lot of work, and a lot of preaching, a lot of praying. So pray for them, and appreciate that. Brother Blondo, would you pray for our missionaries, and then we'll get into the Word of God.
Dear Lord, we come to you again with a humble heart. We thank you again, Lord, for the privilege we have to, again, send out missionaries from your Maranatha. Lord, we are needy people. We have missionaries who have great needs. And we just pray for the island upon the pay as whole, Lord, and the many suffering goes on, not only with those that we know and love, but the many villagers of any islanders there, Lord, who need your help and need the finances, Lord, and the ability to take care of the many problems with water. But we just lift up that situation there especially. Lord, we just thank you again for your many praises, for your glory, for all you've given and done for us. And we just pray continue to be with John and help him with the back situation. And again, this treatment of therapy would truly be a healing to him, Lord. Pray to comfort him and his family as well. Just get sure that, Lord, that you are in his hands. That you're in his hands, Lord. And that you continue to meet their needs financially especially as well. Thank you again for the many that we do. I think of Gary, who plans to go to Ireland, or to get his money that needed to be there for the summer. We thank you both for the great privilege that was. I think of John and Jennifer as well. In Italy with the Maietas, what a special privilege that would be. And Lord, if it be your will that they serve there, Lord, I just pray you make it perfectly clear to them as well. We thank you again for what you're doing in Brazil and those that we have sent out from this church to work in that country, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to do that as well. And pray, Lord, you continue to be with all of our missionaries, Lord, those either we send out or those that we faithfully support each week. It is a great privilege to do that, Lord. And we thank you for giving us that opportunity, again, to supply their needs in such a special way. We pray with their families, Lord, even be with their wives and the children as well, Lord. We often forget those, but Lord, they too are in the mission field. But we lift them up especially to you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more. I was thinking of Alex and Jessica. Do you know if they're in a meeting today, or are they out sick, or visiting a church? Good. Okay. When you think of Alex and Jess Lima, the Brazilian couple we have here, pray for them. They got a road ahead of them, much more difficult than the typical missionary. Yes, sir. How's that? Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. I've got a low voice. But when you think of Alex and Jessica, pray for them. They've got a difficult road ahead. They've come back on faith, really. Alex had a good job. He had worked his way up in his company and was very faithful, was a hard worker, and had an excellent testimony there in Brazil. And we think of missionaries in the States by faith giving up and going to the foreign field. But for Alex to leave his job and his comfort to come here, he's trying to learn English, trying to preach in English, it's difficult. And it took a lot of faith, a lot of courage. He saved up. I've seen Alex. There was a homeless lady sleeping out in the parking lot not too long ago, and Alex picks her up, puts her in a hotel for a night, tries to get her in a homeless shelter, takes her to Walmart. He's not a typical immigrant that comes in wanting to, you know, take from the system. He wants to give. He's a servant of the Lord. He loves people, and he doesn't have much to give. They've had a handful of meetings, maybe one or two churches that support him so far is all. And difficult road ahead of them. Pray that the Lord would open up doors for them to get churches and to present their ministry. And if you know people that would be interested in supporting a national pastor, give his name out. We can get prayer cards for you to give. But an excellent young man. The Lord has worked in his heart, and he gave up and had the courage to come. I gave up a lot, and the Lord's going to use him greatly. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14 through 21 we're going to be in this morning. And as we look at this, I want to see some of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus. And as we were just talking about our missionaries, this is just our missionaries that we're sent out that we're talking about. A lot of needs to pray for. just with our handful of missionaries. Then we look around us here. Just look at us in here. How many needs are represented here? You've got the Blondos here. Brother Joe has cancer that he's struggling with. Different pains and aches he's struggling with these days. He needs our prayers. You got the Braves that have just left home and they're from up in Asheville, trying to sell their house, or it seems to have sold, trying to find a place here, uprooting family, coming down here, trying to get settled into this strange place called Shelby, and they need our prayers. Brother Don and Doris Smith, they're getting younger every year, and they need our prayers. Think of Bill Spence and the pain and the struggles that he goes through, and Melinda, different health problems. My wife has autoimmune diseases and different struggles she goes through. Alton Beal, who's usually back here, he's got a college to run, not an easy job, and teachers are leaving, teachers are going to heaven, not easy to replace. You've got his wife that struggles with Lyme disease, will have a good day and then be down for several, and is weak, is difficult. We can go around the room. You've got Miss Robinette back here and her mom waiting for cataract surgery. They're waiting, having a trip to Florida, have plumbing problems at the house. We could just go on around the room. There's gazillions of needs represented just right here in this body of Christ. And then you take into account family, friends, believers we know in all different kinds of places. And as we observe, if you take any time at all to observe the life of those around you, you'll see that we have something in common. We all live in a sin-cursed earth. We all suffer temptations, sicknesses, difficulties, trials, sorrows. We all are tempted to respond wrongly when we go through these things. We're all desperate for a need of prayer, in desperate need of prayer. But for what do we need prayer? Maybe you would say, well, that's obvious. You just started naming the different things, issues that we have. So-and-so needs a house. So-and-so needs a job. So-and-so needs health. So-and-so needs comfort. Those things, yes, we should pray for, but there's so much more. What is it that we really need when we pray? What is it that we really desire to see God do when we pray for each other? What is our purpose in praying? What is it for which we should pray? Are we asking God for the right things? Or are we only asking Him for the temporal things? If we were believers in Ephesus, these new believers here, what was it that the Apostle Paul would have prayed for us? And that's what we'll see here in chapter 3, verses 14 through and following. Let's go ahead and read. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto Him be glory." Glory in the church is what Christ desires to be accomplished through our prayers for each other. But Paul says here in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." What was the cause for which he was bowing? It's almost like he jumped ahead. If you look back in verse number 1 of chapter 3, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner," and then he goes on and begins to explain the mystery of the church and how Gentiles and Jews have been made one in Christ. And it's almost like he went on a rabbit trail. There's no such thing as a rabbit trail in God's Word. It's inspired. It's all supposed to be there. But I think that the verse 14, "for this cause," was a continuation of "for this cause" in verse 1, which would bring us back to chapter 2 and verses 11 and following. What was the cause? These new believers, verse number 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." They had been changed. They were without hope. They were without God in the world. They had been made nigh by the blood of Christ. They had been strangers and foreigners, but were made fellow citizens of the household of God. They were built upon the foundation, it says here in chapter 2, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And in Christ, they were built together for an habitation of God. No longer did God dwell in temples made with man's hands, but now He indwelt in them, the Ephesian believers, the church. He dwells us. This building is just a building made with hands, but the church, us, the habitation of God, He dwells our hearts. Praise the Lord for that. They were one in Christ, the body of Christ, and as they worked together as one, there are some things that they needed to understand. There were some things they needed to comprehend, some things they needed to know, and it's these things that Paul prays for, so that as God worked through them, they might bring glory to Him in the church. So often when we pray, it's all about us. I raise my hand first, guilty. It's not about Him. We want health. Who doesn't? There's nothing wrong with praying for health. I desire that Joe Blondo's cancer be healed. Keep him around for another 100 years, right? We want health. We want prosperity. Who wants to live in a mud hut? It's not comfortable. We want comfort. We want ease. Those are the natural things that the flesh desires. But are those the things that we need above everything else? Do we pray so much for those things that we forget the most important things, the spiritual things? You know, eventually, we're all going to die. This earth is cursed with sin, and God's not going to take away the curse of sin here on earth. He's taken away the sting of death. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternity is coming, but right here on earth, we're not going to completely escape the plague of sin. We're going to suffer. So we need to pray more than for God just to take away the physical ailments that we have, the struggles that we have here on earth, because those are going to be here forever until this earth is destroyed and God makes a new heaven and a new earth. Paul prayed for spiritual things, and he was confident that God would answer his prayers. When we pray these things for each other, we can know that we're praying according to God's will, and He will hear us, and He will answer our prayers. Paul prayed for spiritual things, and he was confident God would answer his prayers, confident that God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He was desiring that through it all, glory would be given to God in the church. When others enter this building, do they see God's glory? Or do they see us? We should pray and desire the same things that Paul desired for the Ephesians, for our brethren in Christ, for each other, for our friends, for our family, for our missionaries. How do you pray for your missionaries? How do you pray for your family members? How do you pray for your co-workers? How do you pray for the body of Christ right here at Maranatha? Verse number 16, we see the first request, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The first thing is that we'd be strengthened in the inner man. I need strength. Do you need strength? We see the exact same word for strength here used in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That's an imperative there that he gave to the Corinthians. You yourself, be strong. And then I say, Lord, I'm not strong. I don't have any strength. How can I be strong? I'm weak. I'm feeble. I have nothing. I have no strength. And yet you tell me to be strong. But here in this passage, in verse number 16, this word, strengthened by His might, strengthened in the inner man. It's a passive word there. Something that God does to us. Praise the Lord for that. We are weak. We are feeble. But praise the Lord, we can pray this prayer for each other, knowing that God will answer and He will strengthen us, that we may be strong. He will give us the strength so that we can obey and we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But in and of ourselves, we don't have it. And then maybe there's the opposite side of that. Maybe instead of saying, I have no strength, I need your strength, maybe the temptation in your heart is to say, I'm fine. I'm strong enough. I can do this, and forget that you're in a spiritual battle and that you don't really have strength and you've propped yourself up falsely and you don't have God's strength and you need it desperately even if you don't realize it. Paul prayed that they would be strengthened, that God would grant them strength. And then he says, according to the riches of His glory. How much is that? He doesn't say, notice here, he doesn't say out of His riches and glory, as if it could diminish. He says, according to the riches of His glory. They're infinite. The riches of His glory have no end. They're immeasurable. God doesn't run out of might and power, does He? The God who created everything in 6 days, spoke it into existence, and there it is. And Paul was praying that God would give us strength according to those riches of glory. He has plenty. He'll give it to us. Do we ask Him for it? Do we ask for that for each other? He says, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened here, verse number 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might. That word might is power, ability. We need God to strengthen us with supernatural might. Because we're in the middle of a supernatural battle, aren't we? The moment you wake up and forget that you're in a supernatural battle, you've already lost. We wake up thinking of temporal things. Lord, give me health today. Lord, give me wealth today. And we mock and we preach against the prosperity preachers, but yet so often we live like them. We may not have millions, but we are happy with just being comfortable with what we ask God for, just temporal things so often. And we think that our greatest need is provision. Our greatest need is health. But our greatest need is to be strengthened with might in the inner man. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual battle we're in, folks. We need to be praying for each other. Praying that God would provide my daily needs, and we should pray for that. But that doesn't give me strength for the battle for today. We must pray for the spiritual things as well, for strength in the inner man. Every day, every moment, this battle that we're in, the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. We need spiritual weapons because we're in a spiritual battle. Paul here is praying that they would be strengthened with might. And then he says, by His Spirit. By His Spirit. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell us, didn't He? We were sealed, Ephesians teaches, with the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. He indwells us. That is evidence that we're saved. But as Paul prayed here, we need to be strengthened with might and power by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to live the Christian life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the believers were huddled there in the upper room waiting. And then we read that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, He's already come upon us. We have His power, but we need to be strengthened by it. We need to appropriate it by faith. We need His power to live rightly. You need His power to be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good church member, a good worker, a good employer, a good employee, a good pastor. We need God's strength. We need His Spirit to strengthen us in the inner man. We need His power to witness. So many times we see these missionaries across the back wall and we think it's just some kind of magic thing that happens. They just go to the field and people flock to them and there's a church built and You know, I've had this question, how many churches have you planted in the past 2 years? You know, I'm like, how many churches have I planted in 2 years? Well, you know, and you read these stories of people that there's different kinds of missions philosophies out there, but do you realize, think about this, let's bring this back home. We're church. We wouldn't even call ourselves a church plant. But if we would take collectively all the people that have been saved as a result of Maranatha Baptist Church over the past 10 years, who would be here? Which one of those converts would be prepared to be the pastor of this church? That's what missionaries are supposed to do. And you know what? They can't do it. They don't have that strength. It's supernatural. People don't they're not just born pastors. They're not born deacons. It doesn't happen that way. They're born haters of God. Wicked. And they love their sin, and the missionaries need God's supernatural strength and power by His Spirit in the inner man. Why? So they can preach the Word of God with power and see supernatural things take place and see God change the lives of people, because it ain't going to happen by accident. We need that here. But sometimes we pray for the wrong things. And then he says, by His Spirit in the inner man. God strengthens us with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Believers are empowered in the inner man through the indwelling presence, the Holy Spirit in their lives. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul writes, though our outward man perish, this body, it's dying. Our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. It's renewed how? Through this book. So when you're praying that your fellow servant, believer in Christ, missionary, friend, family member would be strengthened with might by His power in the inner man. In a sense, that's praying that he would learn to spend time with God, that he would be strengthened through God's Word. You're not going to have God's power without being in God's Word. His Spirit works through His Word in our hearts. Our bodies are weak and they're frail. They're prone to wander. They're prone to sin. They're dying. They're perishing, but our inward man, that new man that was made alive, that was quickened, we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. When Christ saved us, the inner man is the spiritual part of man where God dwells and works. What a wonderful thing this is to pray for one another. What is it that you need? What is your real need? Is Garrett's real need just to get to Italy? I mean, to Ireland? That's not an end goal in of itself. Is the real need just to get support? For what? What he needs while he's traveling, raising support, while he's heading to Ireland, he needs strength in the inner man. He needs, as he walks along this path of raising support and going to the mission field, he needs God to continue to grow him as he does all of us, to prepare him to be that vessel of use there in Ireland, that others may come to Christ through him. That's not going to happen just by raising support and going. It happens as God strengthens us in our inner man. Yes, pray for his support. Yes, pray that God would get him to the field, but pray more than all that, that along through that process, God would strengthen him in the inner man. Does Joe Blondo need just to be healed of cancer? No, we should pray for that, but that's not his greatest need. He needs strength in the inner man, that as he walks through this trial, he will bring God glory, he will have strength to look to Christ, and that he may be a witness to others through this suffering that he's going through. To his grandkids that he reaches, they need to follow Christ, and he wants to be a witness to his own kids and grandkids while God has him here. He needs strength to do that. Our greatest needs are so far beyond the temporal. Don't ignore praying for our temporal needs, but don't focus only on those. The spiritual is so much more important. What we need as believers is that God would take our weakness, our frailty, our inability, and strengthen us with might, with power, by His Spirit in our inner man. With God's strength and power in our inner man, we can do right. We can witness of Christ. We can be the husband we should be. We can be the wife we should be. We can be the church member we should be. The father, the employee, the Christian. How do you raise kids that are born with a wicked heart to serve God? You can't beat it into them. doesn't work that way. The Bible teaches you how to discipline. The Bible teaches you how to train. But in the end, it's supernatural. The work of God in their hearts that's going to work through them. I need God's strength in my inner man that I may have the wisdom and the power to teach my kids filled with the Spirit and train them to serve the Lord. I need God to quicken them and to make them alive, to save them, to change their lives, to mold them into His image. I can't do it. Any young couples in here? That would be the one advice I would give you. I'm not preaching on child rearing, but don't think you have it all figured out and that you can do it. Yes, you can obey God and you can train your children to serve the Lord. You can do that. He tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. We must obey. We must do that. But in the end, we fail. We're weak. We err. I haven't trained my children perfectly in the way they should go as I ought to have. I try to claim that promise and I seek God to help me do that, but in the end, I've already failed. I beg God's mercy upon my kids that God would do a supernatural work in their life and take up for the errors that I've already made because I'm a sinner. We need God's strength. Verse number 17. Not only that we'd have strength in the inner man, but number two, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, it says. You may ask, well, I thought you said He already dwells us. When we got saved, He came, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, He dwells the believer, but it's not talking about salvation here. Paul is already writing to saints, those who are saved, the believers at Ephesus. He already inhabits the believer. To dwell here is the idea of being at home in. Think about it. If you have somebody over in the church for a meal, I come to your house for a meal and you say, make yourself a home. I can make myself a home to a certain extent. I'm not going to go in your bedroom and kick off my shoes and flop down, take a doze off on the bed and empty my pockets out and throw my keys up in your junk drawer. Everybody have a junk drawer here? Or a junk place? We husbands usually do, and wives hate those places, right? It's like, here, move your stuff here. I'm going to organize. You make yourself at home, and the host really means that, but you don't really dwell there, do you? Now, the other hand, come to my house and watch my kids. They dwell at my house. There's no place that's not entered. They make themselves at home. They have free reign. They go where they want. I mean, obviously, they can't just go and grab whatever food they want whenever they want. We have rules, but they're at home. They dwell there. They've taken up residence there. That's the idea here. Does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? Is He at home in your heart? Does He have free reign in your life? He indwells the believer. But we must, by faith, appropriate that truth into our lives. Let Him take up residence and have control over our hearts, letting Him dwell there by faith. Pray that He may do that in the lives of your brethren here, of our missionaries, of our family. That we'd be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Verse 18 and 19 here. The second part of verse 17 first. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Being rooted and grounded in love. I think of roots. I think of trees. They usually have pretty massive root systems, don't they? I had to cut down a mango tree in my front yard years ago in Brazil. And it was our little lot that we lived on was tiny, and mold was growing because there's too much shade. So I had to cut the thing down. And I remember getting down to the root, and I'd never seen the root of a mango tree. I didn't know how it was made. You know, I've seen other kinds that spread out. This thing was like massive. I don't know how far down it went. I finally gave up. I chopped it down about that far below the ground, dug down around it, and got as much off as I could. Massive root systems. They go down so they can get moisture, nutrients, so they can grow. The bigger the root system, the taller the tree can be and still stand up, right? Being rooted and grounded in love. The Christian needs to be planted deep into the love of God, doesn't he? Into the love of Jesus, the song says, deeper and deeper I go, that I should know the reason why he should love me so. As we delve into God's word and study it and feast upon it, it will root us. We must be rooted and grounded in God's love, and we read of that love here in his word. We often, in the Bible debate these days, you hear of newer versions being more readable and all this stuff. And then I go back to Proverbs, and it says that he that has wisdom must search for it as for hidden treasure. And yet we want to make it as if it's not hidden treasure, and we can just dumb it all down and put it down so low to where people don't have to work to get it, and they're going to have to anyway. It's spiritually discerned. To have roots, you have to dig deep. Sometimes it's dry because we're weak. We need strength in the inner man that we may go down deeper and delve into the love of Jesus. Rooted and grounded here, he says as well. The idea of a foundation. The deeper and the wider the foundation, the taller the skyscraper can go, right? I've seen a lot of houses crack down the walls in Brazil because the foundation wasn't done right. You want to have strength, you have to go deep. Build your foundation upon the Word of God. But here, we need to pray for each other that we would have that. Pray for each other that may we be rooted and grounded in his love. Good thing for y'all to pray for each other. Not married yet. But pray that God would root you and ground you. These are things we need to pray for. Our kids, they don't have a natural desire just to read the Bible. It's boring. It's dull. They don't understand it. But they need strength. They need to be saved first of all, and then they need strength to... And they need somebody to teach them and to train them, and they need to learn to dig deep. It's supernatural. Rooted and grounded in love. Why? That ye may be, or that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to, what? Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The third thing, that we would comprehend and know the love of Christ. Paul desired that the Ephesian believers understand something, comprehend something, know something experientially in their lives. It was the love of Christ. And because of some preachers and some that would ignore sin and never preach on holiness, some preachers have shied away from the love of Christ. It's nothing to shy away from. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest sacrifice ever made was based upon the love of Christ for me, a wicked sinner, for you. That we may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. And I find it fascinating. He didn't just say the breadth. He says the breadth and length and depth and height. Sit there and meditate on each one of those for a while. And just soak it in. There is no end. The length, the breadth, the height. How high does the universe go? I mean, I guess if you're a flat earth theorist, then you may think there's some kind of a dome up there or something, but it's infinite, isn't it? You can't comprehend it. But yet he is praying that we comprehend it. The depth. He's cast our sins away. Deeper than the sea, as far as the east is from the west, they never meet, do they? The love of Christ is immeasurable. It would do us well just to sit and to be still and to meditate on the love of Christ. These measurements that he gives here give us the immeasurability of the love of Christ. Yet Paul prays that we may be able to grasp and comprehend and know the love of Christ experientially, even though he says it's beyond or it passeth knowledge. What is it that we tend to forget so easily when we go through trials and sufferings and sorrows and difficulties in life? The love of Christ. May we say, why me, Lord? Why am I going through this? And next thing you know, we're focused inward again. Focused on ourselves, forgetting the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. God has a plan in everything we're going through. He uses our sin-cursed bodies and brings good and glory to Himself even through those. How amazing His love is. Dr. Esther was at New Mexico. We were sitting in a room, had about 8 different people hooked up to IVs with some medicine going in, and there was an old guy there. I don't know what kind of religion he was, but he was a believer. He's sitting there. He was dying of cancer. He's sitting there witnessing everybody in the room. Most of them were lost. There's a Mormon lady in there, another lady in there, and an oil guy from Texas was in there, and a Mexican guy that was a farmer was up in New Mexico for this treatment as well. And he said, somebody asked me one day, you know, you say you believe in God and God is good, and but why do you have this cancer then? And he said, I'm just so amazed by God's love. I never thought to ask, why me? I asked, why not me? And then he began to witness and speak of the love of Christ and how Jesus had saved him from his sin. Why not me? Why do bad things happen to good people? Is it really a dumb question for somebody that understands the Bible? There is no such thing as a good person. There's none good, no, not one. Praise the Lord, He gives us some measure of health to serve Him in the midst of our sin-cursed earth. We don't deserve the health and wealth and prosperity. But we so easily forget when we go through things the love of Christ. So let's pray this for each other, that we may be able to comprehend it. Lord, would you help Gino here when he's up all night at the hospital? His little one just got out of the emergency room last night. His wife's home tired and he's probably nodding off back here. What does he need when he goes through this? Just for his kid to be better? Yes, we should pray for his kid to be better, but we should pray for Gino that he can comprehend through this the love of Christ, and that through this he'll have strength in the inner man. That we'd be strengthened in the inner man. The second thing he prayed is that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and then that we would be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ. And then he says, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fourth thing, that ye would be filled with the fullness of God. Filled up, complete, mature. Colossians 2:9, speaking of Jesus, says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're not little gods, as the Mormons would teach, okay? We're not going to have that fullness. But yet, in a sense, we do, because we have Christ that indwells us, don't we? If you have Christ, you have everything. We need to be full of Christ, yielded to Him, to find our completeness and our satisfaction and our everything in Him and only in Him. That you would be filled with all the fullness of God. God uses all these things that all these missionaries are going through and all the people around us are going through to bring us closer to Him. But we need to be praying for each other. And we know that when we do, God will answer that prayer. And then he finishes here, verses 20 and 21. It's almost like a song. I can see Paul breaking out in song here. Remember, Ephesians is a prison epistle. Paul was writing this while he's in chains, possibly chained to a Roman soldier. And yet he says, for this cause I bow my knees. The Romans were trying to bring him to his knees, yet voluntarily he bows to his own knees with chains on him, caring about the spiritual needs of those Ephesian believers. He didn't say, Lord, take these chains off of me. Lord, heal all my brothers and sisters in Christ and Ephesians and keep them from getting persecuted. No. He said, Lord, when they're going through this persecution, as they try to preach the gospel, give them strength in the inner man. Give them power. Help them to comprehend the love of Christ. Why? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That's the reason. To bring glory to Christ through all of this. An amazing thing, verse 20. Unto him that is able, he has all power, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We cheat God. We pray. We cheat ourselves in a sense because we don't pray like we should. We don't think God can do greater than he can do. He can do above that we think. Do you ask him for big things? Do you ask him what's wrong with praying? Lord, would you mature Gino and his wife and bring them to the point where they're ready to go and serve you in Madagascar or wherever it might be? Lord, would you encourage and strengthen brother so-and-so, strengthen him in the inner man so that he might grow up and serve you with his heart? Do you pray these things for your kids? God's working in us. It's to bring glory to him, and he can do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, here's the amazing thing, to the power that worketh where? In us. God's not going to go to Brazil and walk the streets and tell people about Jesus, is he? But he'll mature you, he'll strengthen you, he'll help you to comprehend the love of Christ so that you can go and do that. And this exceeding power, he uses through us. We must be yielded. We pray that for each other. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Let's pray these things for each other. Let's love each other and pray spiritual things. Let's pray and we'll be done. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Sunday school.